I'm Kate Remington. I'm talking with Paul Frucht. He's the artistic director of the Charles Ives Music Festival. And it's so wonderful to have a chance to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Great to be here. Thanks so much, Kate.
There's a concert coming up this Saturday evening with Julian Schwartz, cello, and pianist Marika Bornacki.
Yeah.
And that sounds like it's just going to be a wonderful event to kind of kick off the festival.
Yeah. That concert is titled Variation, and what we try to do with all of our concerts is unify them around some type of theme that has something to do with either Ives himself, something that is particularly prominent in his music, or something centered around American composers, because we consider Ives to be a central figure, if not a father figure, for today's American composers and the American composers of later in the 20th century. In this case, this concert is based on a feature that's particularly predominant in Ives's music, which is the idea of variation. Mm-hmm. And he does it in a particularly interesting way, where he'll, of course, take folk tunes or music that he heard as a child with marching bands strolling down, off in the woods or on Main Street in Danbury, where he's from. He'll create very, very interesting kind of works around transforming those musical ideas, creating variations out of them. So we wanted to build a concert around different kinds of variations.
Oh, that's so cool. You know, I've thought for a while that if Charles Ives was still around now writing music, he would fit right in because he was so forward-thinking, and he used, like, samples, like the way composers do now, samples from all disparate sources and everything. And so I think it's so cool that you're keeping the spirit of his music alive and keeping it relevant.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. I think that Ives would do very well today, given how much polystylism we see in the contemporary music world. I think Ives would be very kind of in vogue, as they say.
Yeah, for sure. So what are some of the pieces that Julian and Marika will be playing?
One piece is by our associate artistic director, John Ziner, who's also a composer. And he has a piece that is a set of variations that he wrote specifically for Julian and Marika earlier this year. They premiered it at Barge Music in New York, and they're going to give the second performance on our concert this coming Saturday. Julian has also created his own arrangement of Korngold's Much Ado About Nothing.
Wow.
That he's going to play with Marika. He's also doing some variations by Donzi. We have a piece by Lowell Lieberman, which is a flute, cello, and piano work, and we're closing with the first movement of Beethoven's Archduke Piano Trio.
Wow. See, I didn't even realize that was a set of variations.
Yeah, well, I will admit that we decided to play a little bit fast and loose with some of these, but we looked at each of them. It wasn't just necessarily, making sure that each piece was, a set of variation miniatures, but creating a kind of stylistically diverse program out of the idea of variation. So the first move of Archduke does use that idea, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what we were thinking.
That's so cool. And the concert is at 7:30 Saturday evening at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Ridgefield.
Yes.
And it's part of kind of a chamber music weekend, right? There will be masterclasses.
Yes.
And
so the two key components of the Charles Ives Music Festival, the first is educational, as the WCYO is an educational organization. And then the second is the concert series. And what makes this festival, I think, different than a lot of other organizations and music festivals out there is that they're tied together. Mm-hmm. They're tied together essentially at every event, with just a couple of exceptions, that every time we're going to do a concert, every time we're going to bring artists who we believe are fantastic and have a lot to say into the Fairfield County, Ridgefield area, every time we're going to do that, we think that we should be exposing kids and the community at large to interactive educational events involved with these artists. And so that's kind of the signature element of the Charles Ives Music Festival. So this Chamber Music Weekend is going to involve five artist faculty, in addition to Julian and Marika, who are coming in as guest artists, five artist faculty: Jacob Schack, violist; Mika Sasaki, pianist; George Meyer, violinist and violist; Katie Althan, flute; and Mitch Lyon, cello. And all those artists, actually, except for Jacob, are going to be performing with Julian and Marika on their Saturday night concert as well. But those five artists are going to be working with 22 participants, both from within and outside the WCYO. And in just 2 days, they're each going to put together a piece of chamber music with the participants.
Wow, that's so cool. You know, even if you're not a musician participating in a masterclass, they're fascinating to be part of, because hearing how the the professional musician works with the student is just fascinating, you know, kind of thrashing out a particular passage or giving them a nuance that they hadn't thought of before. And so even if you think it's, you know, a bit like listening to a music lesson, I mean, it is, but it's very public. Well, and so, yeah.
That's what, so a few people have asked me, how would you describe a masterclass? And every time I just say it's a public-private lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I think they're quite valuable. And we're going to be offering a whole slew of them on Saturday at 3:30 at Scottsridge Middle School. They're open to the public. Julian's class is going to be obviously a cello-centric masterclass. We're also doing piano, violin, viola, and woodwind workshops as well. And that's one element, that's one really core element of I think, bringing these artists into the community and exposing what they have to say, their lives, how they view music to kids.
Well, and what's so interesting too is that all of the musicians that'll be participating in the festival through the year, there's about a concert once every month, and it'll go right through the springtime.
Yes.
But they're all young, and they've done so many amazing things. And so I would think just having that connection with the kids in the youth orchestra too will be like really helpful.
Yeah, and I would say that's actually a really interesting feature of what we're doing. I should also credit the music director of the WCYO, Eric Mall, on creating that kind of warm environment. Eric and I are the same age, or roughly the same age, and I've seen him work with the kids in the WCYO, and it is absolutely incredible both how he's able to relate to them and also how he works with them to put together three concert cycles a year. I think it's incredible. I was their composer in residence 2 years ago, and they played my piece, and I was very pleased.
Oh, that's so cool. It must be really gratifying to have turnaround like that, because I know sometimes when you're composing, it's years before you actually get to hear the ensemble who commissioned it to finally perform it. So,
sure, yeah. That was a great experience.
Yeah, and you're working with a composition student later on in the festival, the Mivos Quartet are going to be performing and also doing kind of a similar masterclass thing. But you mentioned before we started rolling here that you're working with a young student on her string quartet.
Yeah, so one of our concerts in the spring is going to feature the Mivos Quartet, which is a terrific contemporary music string quartet. They're going to be coming in March 22nd and giving a chamber music masterclass. And also, they're going to perform a concert as part of the Charles Ives Music Festival. And one other thing they're going to do is they're going to read and record two student string quartets by participants in the WCYO. And one of them is a very talented young woman who's a violinist, and I'm working with her once a month on her string quartet to get it ready for this reading. And I'm very excited about being able to offer that opportunity to kids, and kids who aren't even necessarily thinking right now that they want to be composers. I think this is often something that is when you meet composers, you often ask them, you know, how did you get started writing music? And one thing they often say is, well, there was this opportunity that came along.
Mm-hmm.
There's the other answer, which is, I really, really wanted to do it, and I made it happen, which is great. But for some people, they just need to be asked. And, you know, I wonder how many composers, potential composers there might be sitting in any given youth orchestra at a time. And I kind of wanted to find out with the WCYO. And so we offered this, and she came forward, and she's doing a great job so far. I'm looking forward to hearing her piece.
That is so cool, because writing a string quartet is, well, obviously not like writing anything else, but there are kind of rules that you kind of, or guidelines, I guess, to make sure that everything is balanced nicely among the four instruments, and the, you know, the melodies pass back and forth. Or I've heard from other composers that writing a string quartet is a particularly unique challenge.
It is a particularly unique challenge. She's got a leg up because she's a string player.
Mm-hmm.
But it is definitely, what I've heard is that it's second hardest only to writing a piano quartet.
Wow.
Which I've never done. I've written a few string quartets, never done a piano quartet, so I can't speak to that. But mm-hmm. it's a difficult thing to do for all the reasons you mentioned, and also you're just up against so much great music.
Well, yeah, that's true too.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, so what else are you looking forward to through the season of the festival?
In addition to this concert coming up on Saturday, I'm really excited that we're going to present pianist Peter Dugan at Congregation Shir Shalom on December 7th, Sunday at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We have Peter and violinist Charles Yang returning to do a concert fundraiser for us in January. We have the Mivos event in March, and then we're presenting Chelsea Starbuck-Smith, violinist and pianist Adam Rothenberg, on a really, really cool forward-thinking program that involves American music and folk music. And different types of contemporary landscapes. And that's going to be on April 26th. And then we move into the later spring. We're going to be presenting a concert in New York. One thing we're trying to do on this music festival is, yes, our home is the WCYO, which mm-hmm. of course is based in Ridgefield. But we really want to expand the reach of the series and do concerts throughout Fairfield County and going all the way down to New York City. And so I'm really excited that we're going to do concert on June 8th at Leonard Nimoy Talia Symphony Space in New York City. And we're going to present the Ulysses Quartet, who will then be back with us in August when we have our focus about week and a half of several concerts.
Wow, that's really exciting. I mean, it's cool to think about the Charles Ives Music Festival being in New York City in addition to all the concerts here. So That's really cool. So if you drew like a Venn diagram between the Western Connecticut Youth Orchestra and the Charles Ives Music Festival, where would the overlap be, do you think?
There's kind of two answers to that. The first answer is, looking at it one way, the overlap's 100% in that we are part of the WCYO organization. The second answer, which would be looking at it as how many of our events directly serve or are educational in nature. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that question is, with the exception of Peter Dugan's concert, which is just a one-off concert on a Sunday afternoon with no, obviously I think it's educational because mm-hmm. I think anyone can learn a lot from Peter and just watching him discuss the program and of course playing it. But beyond that, every other event does have an educational component attached to it. I should mention the concert at Leonard Nimoy Talia Symphony Space with the Ulysses Quartet. I'm really excited about a collaboration we're doing with a podcast called Adagio for Things. I hope I'm allowed to mention
cool.
a podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
That started by a good friend of ours, Will Stackpole, and it's called Adagio for Things, and it discusses issues pertaining to contemporary music and composers. And then every episode, they then interview a different composer. And our concert is going to be their first live show, and we're going to have a pre-concert talk that is essentially serving as the discussion that will be part of their live show with Will, myself, a member of the Ulysses Quartet, and then several other people involved in, you know, different elements of these organizations. And then we're going to stream at least part of the concert. So that, you know, I see as definitely an educational event as well, because it's a discussion about contemporary music. And then the other concerts, such as Chelsea's concert, she's going to be giving a violin masterclass. Of course, Julian's concert and Marika's concert this weekend is tied into the weekend workshop. And the Mivos Quartet is tied into string quartet readings by WCYO students. So what we're trying to do is kind of diversify not only a kind of traditional educational event such as a master class, or to the extent that this weekend workshop can be considered a kind of traditional chamber music educational event. We're trying to diversify what does it mean to give educational events to young people, to adults, to the community at large. How are we educating them about music in tandem with our concerts? And so I guess going back to your question, with the exception of Peter Dugan's concert, 100%.
Well, then it's fascinating. And I think there are so many people who feel a little left out with contemporary classical music because of that era in the 20th century where composers were writing music that just was not welcoming and it was difficult to listen to. And so in a way, I think it's just great that the more explanation you can give, the more sort of just making it relevant and approachable does a good thing for everybody. I mean, it really makes us better listeners, and also I think more curious about contemporary music.
Sure. And speaking to that era that you're discussing, what I like to discuss, I teach at NYU, what I like to tell my students is ask yourselves the following questions. Do you like the music? And this is about any music. Do you like the music? That's the first question. And that, you're allowed to say, I like it or I don't like it. Everyone's entitled to an opinion. And then two, using your knowledge as a professional musician, do you think the piece has merit? Do you think it's well constructed? Do you think it's well conceived? And looking at it objectively, not judging it on what you hope it does, but what it's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then number three, are you glad that it was written?
Hmm.
And I think if we can encourage audiences to ask themselves those three questions while also humanizing contemporary music and humanizing composers, not just to be people that you see in a program or people that we know to have lived 200 years ago on another continent, but to humanize them from being anything from, very established, very successful older composers to people in their 40s and 50s writing music, to people who are at the beginning of their career, such as myself, or teenagers like the young woman I'm working with in the WCYO. If we can humanize composers and then get audiences asking those questions critically about, do I like it? Does it have merit? Am I glad it was written? Then we can start to, I think move the ball forward in terms of making contemporary music and what composers have to say, giving them a more critical role in kind of the artistic and cultural dialogue, which I think is what we're all trying to do here.
Yeah, for sure. So how can people find out more? By visiting the website or calling?
Yeah, they can visit www.charlesivesmusicfestival.org. And on that website, you'll find information about all our events, our mission, our guest artists, our artist faculty, and we'll also be offering a summer festival. We're going to be doing a chamber music weekend workshop for adults, specifically geared towards adults, which I'm really excited about. And then also a week-long program for kids 21 and under, which will involve performing in two chamber groups alongside artist faculty, and then also performing in orchestra, which will be led by our WCYO music director, Eric Mall. And I just want to say one thing about the adult workshop.
Sure.
And why we have a separate program for adults and why we have a separate program for kids. One thing that when we started this at the WCYO, what I said was, I think it's really, really important that we provide an opportunity for adults who, are professionals in some other field, whether it be lawyers or doctors or people who work in tech, providing them a forum to get to play, mm-hmm. and to learn. and providing them their own form. Because what I've learned in my years doing this, which albeit is not even approaching double digits yet, but this is one thing I've learned, is that the goals of adults are fundamentally different than the goals of kids. Kids may be looking for extracurricular activities. And in many cases, which I love, kids who are looking to apply to conservatories and be professional musicians. And those are amazing things. And what I've learned so much from adult amateur musicians, they take their experience in their field and then they come at music from a whole other perspective. And that is something so critical, I think, to any community that is looking to proliferate this art form, because it's such an incredible perspective, and I've learned so much. And to create that environment is, I think, a really, really special thing, and that's something we wanted to do. And then with the kids, getting them, the kids are often kind of workhorses. Mm-hmm. They want to come and they just want to play 8 hours a day for a week straight. And so we can give that to them.
Right.
And of course, that's a magical environment as well. But I'm really excited about those two programs this summer, and we'll have information on both of them up on our website very soon.
That's awesome. Well, Paul, it's always great to talk with you.
You too.
The season looks amazing, and thank you so much for coming in to talk about it.
Oh, thank you.